Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Cornbread Said with the Girl Poetry and me on Cleveland Smooth Jazz WJZZ. We're excited to have Amuna the Poetess to our dinner table tonight. We're going to get to know about her as a mother, as a daughter, as a child of God. We're going to listen to her passions, listen to her growth, her fears. But more importantly, we're going to be able to have a glass of her poetic wine to inspire us and to educate us onto how we can grow and be better. She is a very inspiring writer. She does short stories, which was her first passion. But later in life, she became fascinated with poetry. This is something that gave her a lot of peace. She's very active in the poetry groups and has her own blog page entitled Amuna's Expression on Facebook. Her original goal was to write 1,000 poems, which she has surpassed. She has a podcast entitled Talk It Out Thursday that can be heard on Anchor Podcasts, Spotify, and other platforms as well. She hopes to become a published author and currently has a poetry book in the making. Without further ado, we're going to bring Amuna to the stage.
How you doing?
How
I'm
you
so
doing?
Happy to be here.
I'm
all right.
Excited to
Thank
have
you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well,
you're welcome.
I'm going to get into this first piece, and it's entitled Wasted Energy. Time wasn't the only thing I wasted in my life. Energy was also wasted. I spent so much energy on loving someone else when I should have put that time and effort into myself. So today, I will make sure to not only spend my time wisely, but also my energy. Every ounce of energy I once put into others will now be put into myself tenfold. For too long, I felt like I wasn't worth anything. Like if I spent time to myself or on myself, that it would be time wasted. So I choose to put energy into people that didn't even deserve that time, didn't deserve my time, loyalty, or energy. But now I'm focusing on me. I am working in peace.
I first came across that piece on Facebook and I read it. I was like, oh yes, she has to read this one. Definitely have to read this one. Before I get into why I felt that way, share with us what was the inspiration behind this piece.
Well, I spent a lot of time in my life suffering with lack of self-love and low self-esteem. And, like, this was since I was a little girl. So it really dawned on me one day that, like, over 3 decades of my life was spent in darkness, in unhappiness. So I said that I wasn't going to waste any more time at all and that I was going to make the most, you know, of each moment. And I finally learned to love myself, and I realize now that I'm important.
Oh, yes. That has to be the most important thing someone can learn about themselves. Because, you know, growing up, we were always told if we did stuff for ourselves, we thought about ourselves, that was being selfish. But, you know, in reality, how we learn to love for another person, we have to love ourselves first. And
right.
I don't, you know, that's definitely something that we're not teaching currently, because we do live in a me-ism world. You know, when I read the piece, I'm ready to put myself in that piece because my soft spot is doing for others. I want people to be happy. I want their needs to be met. And unfortunately, that's that caregiver in me that is a good quality, but sometimes it can drown us out. And I learned that a lot of times we're really doing for someone that have done for themselves.
Right.
And then at the end of the day, we've done all the big work, but they haven't done anything for us either. You know, we are pretty much empty at that point because we're putting out so much. The best way to keep yourself filled is to love yourself.
Right.
I used to take out time for myself. Oh, my Lord. And I used to wonder why I was tired. Just learning how to, some of it comes from managing your time, but a lot of it comes from just knowing how to say no. Something you're off
oh
the
my
top,
God,
you're
the
not
learning
supposed
to
say
no. Wow.
It's such a small word, but it's so powerful.
Right, because when you're so used to telling everybody yes, you think that mm-hmm. if you tell them no, that they're gonna be insulted or they're gonna, you know, take it as you having an attitude. And everybody became accustomed to this little shy, timid girl that I was that wouldn't tell anybody no. And no matter how mm-hmm. I was feeling or how the weight of the world was on my shoulders, I was already going, always willing to go full throttle into, you know, making someone else happy except myself.
Yes. And, you know, it's really interesting. Your spiritual and your mental do enhance when you start taking time for yourself.
It does.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you, when I realized that power, you can't get me to do stuff I don't want to do now. I hear people all the
right.
time.
Well,
I done called your phone. Okay, that's nice.
That's when you do learn to tap into the power of no, though, you're like unstoppable. And like, not everybody can handle it. You know, like, it's been
mm-hmm.
thinking like something bad. But it's not. It's just like when people have come accustomed to you putting their needs ahead of yours, that's what they automatically expect you to do. So when you finally do put you first, they're like, you know, what's really going on? Or why are you acting like that? Man, it's because I'm worth it. And now I want to put some of that time to myself. That's why I'm acting like that.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I agree on that one. And even more so, he was talking about the, you know, you don't want to waste your time either, you know, which definitely,
right.
unfortunately, is what we do, because there's always so much more that we can be doing for ourselves. But unfortunately, we also have the habit of saying, oh, I can get to me later. But later doesn't always come.
Exactly. And once that time is wasted,
yeah.
you can never get it back.
Mm-mm. And, you know, many people do spend their time trying to make up for lost time.
Right.
And I'm not really sure where people thought that, you know, time is going to come back to you. Unfortunately, it doesn't. I wish. If that's the case, there would be a whole lot of things I could redo. But, you know,
right.
we do have to start learning to appreciate what's before us. Yeah, so I definitely felt wasted time. Wasted energy. Even more so, I think, now in my current stage, with the fact that I've been able to hone in on so much that surrounds just me and my family. I definitely can see the difference. I'm getting a lot more done. But I also have a lot more downtime, which is weird, you know, but it feels good. It feels good.
You know
now,
how you feel like
you...
there's never
oh,
enough hours
sorry.
In a day? I say, you know,
oh,
you
no,
feel
there
like
isn't.
There's never enough hours.
No, ma'am. I really need somebody to add like another 4 or 5 hours in a day.
Right.
And I still don't think I'd have
all
enough.
Good. That'll be.
Now, I know you were in your bio, we just shared that you started out with the goal of writing 1,000 poems. What prompted you on that goal?
Well, really, I really didn't have a goal of really being a poet at first, because I was into short stories. Like Dr. Seuss inspired me so much when I was a kid, and then like later, you know, I got into Stephen King and different things like that. So I said, "Oh wow, you know, let me try." You know, writing short stories. Really, it was for school. And I was really, really good at it. So, you know, I kind of kept at it. But when I was 14, there was some assignment that we had in school to write a poem. And I'm like, oh, my God. So I was freaking out at that point. I'm like, yeah, I can't write a poem. All I do is write stories. But I thought about a conversation that I had with God, asking him different questions. So I wrote the poem like that, and it was so easy, and it felt really right. And after that, I was like, wow, I kind of like this, but I still really wasn't confident in it till I got that first heartbreak, and then that's when I wrote a poem about that heartbreak. And I felt like it was so much easier to deal with the pain of being heartbroken. And a couple years ago, I ran across somebody that asked me if I wanted to be in a poetry group. And I'm like, I guess. And I was intimidated at first because there was so much talent. It was like mad, crazy talent. And I'm like, what am I doing in here? So I tried to scrape up all the little poems I'd ever written, and it was like 22 poems. And I'm like, okay, I hope I can write 1,000 poems. It was just something that came out spur of the moment. I don't even really know if I was serious about it at that time. But I realized, like, after maybe 6 months, I was already almost to 500 poems. Because I was learning so much from this group. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Maybe like nine months went by. And I was like, I might be on to something right here. So then I started getting serious with reaching that goal. And then it actually seemed like it was hard to do that. You know, it started to get kind of challenging. But I worked harder, and I just kept at it. And I was like, Lord, if I could get to 1,000 poems, I'll be so happy. But when I got to 1,000, the ink kept flowing. I'm like, okay. But
You know, I had did a poetry class a couple of years ago, and one of the students had did an acronym for poetry, which was poetry opening expressions that release you. And that really sticks. That stuck with me after that. And I kind of looked at poetry a little bit more differently than just me sharing what's on my heart or sharing what I see or sharing something I read or what have you. When you are releasing, you are tapping into much more than just what's on paper. You know, you're taking more of a spiritual light. And a lot of times we don't even realize the healing and growth that's taken place while we've been writing until usually much later, until you start really looking at the things you're now writing. You're like, I wasn't doing that before. I wrote that.
Right. And and it's crazy. And then it's like you're, when you learn to like channel your energy and put it into a poem,
mm-hmm.
you're like, yes. And sometimes
yes,
the poem
yes.
just writes itself.
It do. Sometimes, yeah, and especially when you have those poems that you look back at and go, so that's how I feel about that.
Right.
I've had more than one of those. And I
right.
think those are the most powerful ones. Those are the ones that usually definitely show your strength. I know my husband is used to, if I write a poem and speak it, I have a more of a like a jazzy tone to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I did a piece and I sounded kind of militant with it. And he was kind of like, I don't know if I like that. He's like, I'm going to need you to calm back down. But I said, I can't. I'm like, if that's the tone of the piece, that's the tone of the piece. Like, it's supposed to bring stuff out of you that you don't even know. And, you know, that's what I personally have seen while you've been sharing your poems during the time that I've been able to know you. You've definitely blossomed from, I'm going to tell you a little story, to I'm going to tell you an episode, and there's going to be more episodes after that. You know, like we're anticipating the next piece. Like, so the first episode was about the next one, you know, and you, and the pictures you paint are so vivid, but the words to me are even more powerful, because everyone who reads your piece can relate to it, whether they themselves went through it or they know somebody, but it's definitely relatable. And I know a few times you've been in my inbox and I was like, what, was she inside my house when she wrote that? You really do have
it's
a gift
always
for that.
Amazing, like when that happens, when someone tells you that they can relate to your piece or that it touched them
mm-hmm.
so deeply, that you really embrace the power of the pen. Like poetry and writing
mm-hmm.
is really therapeutic and it's very empowering. It's like magic. You know, it's never
yes,
a dull
ma'am.
Moment.
Oh, no, ma'am. Never, never that. Well, if you were just joining the show, we are pleased to have Emuna, the poetess, on the line with us as our special dinner guest. This segment of the show is being brought to you by Cougar TV, which is a 24-hour online television platform dedicated to providing programming that reflects women's relationships, their sexuality, their point of view, their attraction to men. And we'll also just provide women with a variety of movies for entertainment, programming to reflect the female point of view. If you would like to know more about the programming, please do take a look at our website, www.i-m.mx/ScreenWorksTV/CougarTV. Also, if you are a business owner and you are looking for a spotlight to showcase your showcase you and your products, please do give me an email at poetryizme@gmail.com. We're going to take one more break. We're just going to play a track. And this right here is especially being brought on for Emuna. You mentioned Mary J. is one of your favorite artists to listen to. And
oh, yeah.
I picked two songs to play during this series. And both of the songs remind me of who you are. And the first one we're going to play reminds me of who you said you wish to be, and it's the life that you're living. So I'm not going to say the title. Just know it's Mary J. It's a surprise for you. One moment.
Okay.
heart again. Another lesson learned. Better know your friends, or else you will get burned. Gotta count on me, 'cause I can guarantee that I'll be fine.
Poetry is me, and we just got to listen to Mary J. Blige and No More Drama. Before we continue on with the show, just a couple quick announcements. August 27th, here at Cornbread Fed, our dinner guest will be none other than Cole Black. Please do tune in to hear more about him as not just a musician, but he's also a novelist, and I didn't know that until I did my research. So we really want to get to know this talented individual. He's especially known for his love songs, so ladies, stay tuned. We also will be having a special guest co-host every second Thursday of the month. My hubby, yes, Michael Hollingshead Sr., he is the CEO of Black Change. During that segment, we will be discussing Black Lives Matters along with other hot topics that are taking place during the week that we are going to be hosting together. So that would be every second Thursday. And stay tuned. We definitely are going to be having a lot more guests being showcased throughout the rest of this year. The lineup will be announced next Thursday. But if you are interested in being showcased here on Cornbread Fed, or you know somebody who you would like to suggest to be showcased, give me a shout out at my email. That is poetryizme@live.com. Or you can find me on Facebook, Charlotte Hollingshed, and or on my Facebook page for the show, which is Cornbread Fed with Charlotte Hollingshed. And we are always looking for new talent showcase. We're also looking for new co-hosts as well. So if you're interested in having your 5 minutes of fame, as they say, go ahead and send me an email. So we are going to get on back and continue our show here with Amuna. Now, how do you feel about the song I picked?
Oh, I was up and on my feet. I couldn't stop. I was dancing. Mary J is my girl. Oh my God.
Yes, ma'am.
That was a good pick.
Ma'am.
That was a good pick. Oh. Thank you.
Now when you
that.
Said that
oh.
Mary J was your girl there, automatically, I can definitely see why. Because just like your poem with Mary J, everybody can listen to Mary J and definitely relate to the stories that she shared. And that's a beautiful thing. You know, connecting
right.
with others, I think it's one of the lost intimacies. And so I'm really honored to be amongst the worldwide of poets and musicians and other artists who are able to connect through their art. Definitely touching, healing, and educating, uplifting. You know, that's what it's all about. And you know, what really is the most beautiful thing is when they listen to you or they read your work and then they get inspired to do things themselves. Yes, ma'am. So I'm excited that you enjoyed that piece. Because you have been saying, though, throughout this year that you were removing a lot of things. You're not going to be taking on other people's problems and their variations. And so when you told me who you like to listen to, I said, yeah, one of those songs has to be No More Drama, because that's exactly what she's dealing with this year, No More Drama. Yes, ma'am. Okay,
and I mean,
now,
it's not.
Go ahead.
It's not really that I mind helping people get through their problems.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that for so long, that was all I was focused on. So while
mm-hmm.
I was fixing everybody else's, helping everybody fix their lives and dealing with their problems, my life
mm-hmm.
was a hot mess. And I wasn't fixing myself. So I
mm-hmm.
just became a better version of the person that I was before. And many people don't see it like that. I'm not being selfish. I'm just, this is a new and improved version. That's all.
Yeah, that's a wonderful way to see
yeah.
that. Mm-hmm. So now we done poetry ourselves out almost. That's not even a word. Be around me long enough, you know I make up words all the time.
I love
but
it.
If you have. Yes, ma'am. But if you have another piece to spit, I would love for you to do that. And then we'll go ahead and have you talk about your blog and your podcast.
Okay. This one is entitled Strength from the Struggle. 41 years I've lived on this earth. Maybe 10 of them were happy. The rest were spent being hurt. And I can't blame that on anyone but myself. I suffered a long time and didn't ask for help. I was too busy wearing an emotional mask. I didn't want to look weak or like I needed help, so I didn't ask. So I made it my mission to put a smile on everyone's face, even though I felt alone and out of place. I lent a ear and a shoulder and wiped tears from many eyes, and I managed to do all of that while crying inside. No one could ever know the depth of my pain. And even if they knew my story, knowing and going through it ain't the same. It doesn't matter if they had the same struggle too. Their journey isn't mine, and we have different points of view. I was never looking for anyone to pity me. I just wanted to be respected and seen as worthy. But my worthiness should never have been determined by anyone else. It's my job to find worthiness in myself. I will always help others. It's what I love to do. But I'm my priority now because I'm important too. It's not that I don't care about anyone else's problems. I'm just making sure that I'm good for trying to solve them. By putting others first, I took away a piece of myself each and every day. And I lost my identity by neglecting myself that way. I learned to face my problems, and I grew strength from my struggles. I am now courageous when it comes to my troubles. I wish I could help everyone at the same time, but I can't do that. So before getting into anyone else's affairs, I handle mine. And no, that doesn't make me selfish or mean that I don't care about anyone else. I just can't care for others without first taking care of myself. Thank you.
There you go again. Talked about that. Put me first. Yes, ma'am. Put me first. I love
it. What you do.
You know, the emotional mask, I just think that as women, that's something that we're automatically taught to do, whether it's in direct words or what we see. Yeah, because even my mom, Dayton, like, I didn't know my mom struggled and went through things until I think I was probably about 14, 15, because she never showed it. You know,
exactly.
I just knew that
we were
well taken care of. Yes, 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 yes. That's what he was at. And then by the time I was 14, 15, I started realizing, well, she's superwoman, but she still has her kryptonite. And, you know, but she still didn't want, even the outside world didn't see it, unless it was someone like a close relative. I have an aunt that I learned pretty quickly, that's who she went to all the time when she was going through stuff. But otherwise, you know, my mom had a smile on her face. You know, she's doing for others. And I also learned that was her way of coping with what she was going through. She was busy doing for other people. And I never understood it.
Yes.
But I think that's just what we're programmed to do. Not that it's always
so,
a bad thing, but it can kind of weigh us down, I guess.
Yes. I think you have to learn how to balance that because it could be very detrimental to you emotionally and physically. Because I find that that's what happened with my mom. Like, my mom had issues with diabetes and things like that going on since the 80s. But she was so busy taking care of her family, taking care of her kids, taking care of her husband, where she just neglected herself in every way possible. And she really didn't even see it that way. It's like it was so empowering for her to care for other people. But she forgot all about herself. And I saw myself becoming that woman. And I was like, I can't do it because I see what my mom is going through now because of that. Like, she lost her sight. She's in dialysis now. It's like, I saw myself doing that. I wasn't taking my meds, wasn't doing anything I, you know, was supposed to do for myself. But I made sure everybody else was on point, and I'm like, no, I gotta break this cycle, and I gotta do it now. I think it is a woman's thing. I really do, because we're nurturers. We're already like that. So yeah, so many women are going through that. See, that's just very, very hard. Very, very common.
Yeah. But you know what I also found about that, though, is that even though we spend a lot of time caring for others, it does allow us to see our strengths and what we're able to what we can project over to other people. As a matter of fact, I was so... A few weeks ago, there was a member of my church family that had passed, and I had took time off from work to go. I just told my supervisor, I said, "Look, my spiritual dad passed. I'm gonna go to his setting up and the funeral." Well, little did I expect to get this peace lily sent to my house. All just because I used the term spiritual dad. And she's like, "Well, he was that type of person to you. We want to make sure that, you know, we show you your respect." That's okay. So I'm like, what am I doing to this plant?
Wow.
I don't take care of plants. I don't take care of plants. So I had to look up the plant because I didn't know anything about peace lily. Plants I've gotten previously are kind of like in a cactus family. You don't have to do much to it. But the video that I watched that told me how to take care of his plant, the lady said, she said, as you take care of his plant, if something happens and it goes limp or starts to die or whatever, as you take care of it and you bring it back to its well-being, there's like some type of satisfaction that comes out of it. It makes you feel good to be taking care of something. And I would give,
wow.
Believe it or not, I did this because our AC went out in the house, and so the house was a little too hot for the plant. The plant kind of limped over. It was starting to look kind of bad, and I followed the stuff I found on YouTube again so I could bring it back to life. But as I did that, and every day I was doing something to make it healthier, I thought, I like this. You know, but then I thought, I can take care of something without having to put myself second. We tend to think that people is the only thing that we can put energy in. That's the same satisfaction I get when I write. I've created this poem, and now that I've created it, I get to utilize it in different ways. You know, that's an awesome feeling, you know. And I think that if each individual knew how to tap into things that they enjoy and then learn how to nurture it,
exactly.
It'd be the same thing as you're tapping into people. But you can still tap into people, but not have to do it directly. Therefore, you don't take as much of yourself. We are 15 minutes away from the closing of the show, and I want to start running my mouth. I want to Luna to come back on here because I just would run my mouth, and we don't want to do that. I want to learn more about your blog page. Tell us a little about that, and as well as your podcast.
Well, one thing I always was able to do was express myself when it came to a topic of interest, as far as something going on in the community or just something going on in general. That was something that I was always pretty good at. So I said, well, you know, I wanted to try blogging to see, you know, how I would be at it or whatever. And I felt that it was very uplifting. I just like expressing myself. I'm a talkative person. But when it usually, like, if it comes to myself, I used to hold back a lot, but when pen meets paper, that's not a problem. I can express myself very freely whenever I'm writing. So I said, well, I want to do blogging and whatever other type of writing I could do, just as long as I write, because no matter how I write or what form of writing I do, it just makes me feel better and better and better. And that's what let me know that it has to be, writing has to be what my true purpose is. But your purpose can elevate you to other levels too, which is what happened with the podcasting. I was like, well, using my voice was a challenge for me. Like, I would literally get freaked out. I would get so nervous. It would, like, trigger my anxiety. I would start shaking, sweating, almost crying. So I was like, you know, I prayed about it, and I'm like, Lord, you know, I've helped a lot of people. Like, if it's someone that I knew or, you know, spoke directly with or got used to, I would talk to them and help them out a great deal. Like, a lot of people have told me this. So I asked the Lord to strengthen me when it came to me using my voice, because I wanted my voice to be just as empowering as my ink is. So I said, well, let me try podcasting and see how that goes. And I tried it, and I really liked it. And it just helped me come out of my shell even more. Like, I'm very comfortable with using my voice now. Like, it doesn't freak me out. The thought of it doesn't freak me out like it used to. I can do it very comfortably. So it's crazy how things can open other doors for you. One purpose can open up so many other things for you. It's like a rippling effect, and it's like you're touching lives in so many different ways. You know, it's awesome. But now I just got to figure out how to conquer my fear of getting on somebody's stage, and then I'll be okay. But we'll figure that out. You got to take baby steps.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You know, and it's really interesting because I did mine. My experience happened backwards. I ended up conquering stage first. So, which is really crazy that I conquered stage first. But when I did the podcast, I still was nervous. I was like, why am I so nervous in the podcast? Like, they can't see me. They can't see me.
But then
I learned quickly that was the whole problem was, I couldn't be seen. I couldn't see them. Like, are they there? Are they listening?
I never looked at it that way.
Yeah, but I'm not like I'm really not a big phone person. I have a few select people if I can get on the phone with. It could, usually, it's because we haven't talked in a long while. You know, we would keep on the phone for over an hour and some change. Then there's folks where they call me and I'm like, okay, and you call for what? Okay, that's it. Okay, bye-bye. You know, I'm just like, off the phone. But I'm really more of an in-person. I like to see you.
Right.
Which is really funny about that, because I have a friend that just insists upon Facebooking me, calling me, video chat. And I'm like, dude, why? My hair is a mess. I don't wish to be on your video chat.
That sounds like me. However, a bonnet or a scarf so quick.
Oh, yes, ma'am. We got to do something with the head there. But the beautiful thing, though, is when you conquer what seems like to have been your biggest fear, eventually everything else seems so minute.
Yes.
Yeah. You just don't. And like you said, you know, you've done stuff that has opened doors for you in other venues. And that's the part about what is beautiful about being an artist. There's no set category for you.
Right.
I've never said, well, I'm a poet, or, you know, I'm a book author. I just say I'm an artist, and I do with my tools, and whatever that takes me, that's where it takes me, you know. And that makes
that
so much more freeing for you, because if I wanted to go bake and then write poems on my cookies, you know,
right.
You know, so it's about knowing how to take what you do, but incorporate it into everything. And that's what I had to learn to do, because otherwise, over busybody, trying to do a little bit of everything, and or some things get put aside and you just don't ever touch at all. So long story short, you know, being able to watch you grow into your opportunities and take advantage of them, it has been really exciting. I know when you first put up that you were doing a podcast, I was like, oh my God, you would think I was in the podcast with you. But I just love to see growth. I mean, I love it. And I also love when people are not afraid to step outside of their comfort zones, because that's when you meet the most interesting people and opportunities. And you just never know where that's going to take you later. But you also never know who has been waiting for you to make that major move, you know, because everything you do inspires somebody else.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, I was inspired by so many amazing people, because I had a tendency to stay in my comfort zone. I was like writing about one type of thing. I would write about pain. That was what I would write about. Pain. That was just, and eventually, you know, started learning, and that's what y'all would be like, step out your comfort zone, sis, write about this. And I'd be like, what the hell are they telling me to write about? You know, and it would work when you really put, you know, you put faith in it and you do it, and you realize, hey, this really. So I feel like I stepped out of the dark side and I came into the light, because now I'm writing a lot of inspirational pieces.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Imagine that, because I was such a dark writer, you know.
And that was me when I first started. Yep, that was me.
But it helps you. It helps you deal with that pain, though. So doggone good.
Oh, yes, ma'am. It definitely does. And I'm thankful for them dark years, because now I sit in sunshine. You know, I can see the rainbow.
Right.
So, yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. But we have been enjoying, over this last hour, our time here at the dinner table with Emuna the Poetess. It has been refreshing to be able to take in a glass of her poetic wine. I learned what inspires her to keep that pen afloat and to keep growth. We are thankful very much so to be a part of her journey. You can find her on Facebook, Emuna the Poetess. You can also find her on the Anchor podcast as well as Spotify. This segment is ending with being brought to you by Creative Empowerment. We are here to inspire and uplift our nonprofit and small businesses who are looking to do fundraisers to build themselves. If you are in need of a fundraising idea, give us a call at 478-841-6799 and or to email us at cimaradio@mail.com. And this is also brought to you by Speak Unto Life Ministries. We are here to uplift our communities by attending to the needs of our women and children coming out of battered shelters, and educating and uplifting the men coming out of the system. And we can be reached at the email address SPULM.Charlotte.Hollingshed gmail.com. We are going to close the show. It was my pleasure to have you here with us on Cornbread Fed, as we are bringing to you the best of poetry, music, and entertainment, and much, much more. Our closing out song is Mary J. Blige, We Ride.
Now, ladies, if you got a man and he treats you real good, ain't you gonna flex every chance that you get now? Ain't you gonna love him just like you should? Especially when you never thought you would, yeah.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby.
We ride, we ride, we ride.
Hey.